First question I want to ask you is this whole thing about ice time. Did we not sort of suspect that ice time was going to be pretty even going into this? You know, I mean, everybody kept talking about guys are going to have to check their egos at the door and nobody's going to be taking that extra long shift and nobody's going to be double shifted. And now this seems to be people are pointing to ice time and saying, oh my God, Sidney Crosby's not getting as much ice time. I thought that was the way it was supposed to be.
Well, there's a period of adjustment, though, and I think that's the issue in the sense that, you know, guys that are used to being on the ice for a certain amount of time are going to have to learn to maybe play a little bit less. I think, though, for the first couple games, maybe not necessarily the game against Finland, because there was some implication to slotting with regards to it. No one wanted to play the Russians in the quarters.
Right.
But they tried to play nice with everybody, and they played their entire bench, and they played their, you know, their seven defensemen, and they played their 13 forwards. They played everybody. They even dressed Mike Smith for a game, so, you know, he would get a medal. Oh, that being said, you know, it's jump ball now. But, mm-hmm. you know, really, if you had a choice between taking Jay McClement as your third-line center and Ryan Getzlaff, really? Of course you're going to take the best guys.
Right.
And they're trying to find the right combinations. They will now go into the qualification game, and I think Babcock will look at his bench, and he'll play the guys that are going for them. And if it's Chris Kunitz, then he'll play. And if it's Corey Perry on line with Bergeron and Crosby, he'll play. But there is a period and a level of adjustment that these guys that are the best of the best have to go through. And there's an adjustment to the big ice. That's another factor. The European teams know how to play it better than anybody. And in fact, when I watch some of these European teams play up to the qualification games, some of them, quite frankly, don't really care what happens in the first three games because they know now it's on the line. And when we start the games tomorrow, if you win, you move on.
Mm-hmm.
If you win the next one, you move on from there. They do it in the Worlds, they do it in the Olympics, and they know how to play. As Canadians, we expect us to slaughter everybody in every game we play. That just simply can't happen.
Glenn, Bill Guerin joined Hockey Central today, and he had some comments about Sidney Crosby. I want to play them for you and get your take on it.
I know them both very well. I know how comfortable they are, and I, you know, I know the chemistry that they have. I mean, that's just something that I would kind of ride. If it was me, I would ride it out.
That is Bill Guerin talking about Chris Kunitz and Sidney Crosby. Do you think that if you're Mike Babcock and you're going into that qualification game, do you have Chris Kunitz? Are you obligated to play him with Sidney?
No, and I wouldn't ride it out. Riding it out means you don't win a medal and you break all the chairs when you go to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to USA.
Right.
I would play the best compliment for him. Bergeron seems to be a guy who fits nice with him. He's a great give-and-go guy. He certainly has the ability to hold on to the puck and bring people from good ice to bad ice, which is critical. You know, there are a lot of factors that go into this. You know, I think, you know, forget all the talk about who plays with Crosby. I'm going to put the onus solely on Crosby's back, and I'm going to say it's just time for him to play. You know, you look at the game the other night against Finland. Is there a defenseman that would ever play a shift in the NHL against Sidney Crosby? Not a chance, unless you were a fired coach. And when you look at, you know, the Swiss or the Latvians, do you really think that there's anybody on the Latvian team that could even make the NHL, let alone play a shift against them?
Right.
And if you looked at both teams, I would say that 40 guys want his autograph.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just time to play, you know. Enough of the dissection. He's one of the best players in the world. Get your legs going. Get used to the big ice. And whoever you play with, you play with. And I look at Gretzky when he was playing with Lemieux, and I look at Gretzky when he was playing with a whole host of other characters. He just found a way to get it done. And, you know, Jonathan Toews is doing that. We're not talking about him and the 18 other line mates that he's played with. So, to me, you know, play your best players. And that line, to me, should look like this. Corey Perry should look like Sidney Crosby, and it should look like Bergeron. And I think that would be the best combination.
We had Eddie Olczyk on earlier, and Eddie was making the point. He was talking about how he's seen the games, and he thought that Mike Babcock was sort of was doing what you said, line one, line two, line three, line four. Dan Bylsma took a different approach, and he wasn't saying one was better than the other, but against the U.S., Dan Bylsma shortened his bench noticeably. Do you fully expect to see Mike Babcock shorten his bench against either Latvia or Switzerland? Or do you think we may wait and have to wait until the next game if Canada advances for that to really be pronounced?
Yeah, I think, you know, Canada really took on or tried to take on kind of that European nation mentality, which was it's about the journey and, you know, not the destination. So don't look at game one with against Norway and think that it has to be a 7-1 affair. Look at game one against Norway and try to find some chemistry amongst the group. Try to find some chemistry amongst the building with the big ice and the boards and the lighting. You know, the ice is terrible. They've had three games a day in this sheet for I don't know how long. You know, the weather has been spectacular. It snows up. You don't get as many commercial breaks. The shovelers look like the Leafs from the 1980s. one of the kids actually wiped out and got concussed, and the referee had to help him off. It's not the same, you know. Right. I mean, I watched them with the Russian game against the U.S. You know, the nets that are on pegs, they just pull the net back and the pegs stay in the net.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bent over. They're about 40 years old. You know, there's a whole host of issues that are going on that are not like National Hockey League conditions. So it's about the journey. Get used to what you got to get used to and understand you've got another 2 days of practice. That's why you won. And you don't have to face the Russians in the quarters. And so that was mission accomplished. It would be great to have the top seed. But, you know, find a way to get it done. And I would imagine the next game, you know, Babcock has a pretty good idea of what his lineup was going to be beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had to maybe prove to the other people that, okay, remember I told you about this player? Well, he's not going to play because we've given him a chance, and I'm going to go with my guys. And his guys will consist a lot of 87 and a lot of the guys that are the elite players in the world.
Do you think PK Subban draws back into the lineup?
I do, but I don't think he plays,
other than
maybe on the power play. You look at his minutes, for instance, he's down almost 14 minutes a game from his National Hockey League stuff. There were a couple times in the game he played where he was on the power play, and not a lot, but where he had chances to shoot the puck and he made plays. That's not why he's on the lineup. He's there to shoot the puck, and he didn't. And so, you know, I don't know if he's fully trusted by Babcock, but I can tell you this, the top six for Canada are pretty good.
Oh,
so, yeah, you know, and I know, hey, he's won an Norris. I get it. You can make the comments, but the top six, that's a tough group to crack. And from a dependability and trust standpoint, he's going to have a hard time cracking it.
Now, I was making that point with people joined by Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada, by the way. I just asked people, who are you going to take out? I mean, I look at that defense corps. They basically haven't done anything wrong for three games. And I don't care who your opposition is. All we talked about going in was how the defensemen were going to have to adjust to the wider ice, that they were going to have to tailor their play. And to me, the defensemen 1 through 6, they've been the strength of this team from the first minute of play almost.
Well, I looked at the first game that Carey Price played against Norway, and I think I counted 2 scoring chances.
Right.
And then I looked at game 2, and we had it a little bit higher, and, you know, it was more of a loosey-goose game, a back-to-back, but not significantly higher. And then I looked at the game the other night against Finland, who was one of the top-scoring teams in the tournament, and they had 5. And I'm giving them 5, but I'd like to give them 3, but I'm embarrassed to give them 3 because I've never been to a game in my life that a team has had 3 scoring chances ever. So from a coach's standpoint, they must look at the game and say, that's about as good as you're going to get without the puck.
Yeah.
You know, we did a lot of really good things well. What they're missing and what they have to find a way to get is that second goal, because that is the death knell for these European teams that want to play back like the Swiss do, 5 back. Come on, let's play kitty by the door. We're going to put 8 people in the crease. You got a better chance of getting you have no chance of getting a puck through. We block everything. It's like the Rangers played. So Team Canada has to find a way to get the second goal. They've got to bring people up high, bring the box plus one, separate that from the net, and then they'll get chances like they had the other night when Getzlaf came to the top of the box by the blue line. Here came the Finns. He passed it to Vlasic, and Vlasic had a phenomenal chance. That's the kind of adaption that they have to have when they're playing teams that are happy to keep it at 1-0 and hope for a mistake or a bad call by a referee.
Glenn Healy joined us on the Jeff Blair Show. Glenn, I think the one thing that I'm taking away from these Olympics, and a lot of people are taking away from these Olympics, is nobody could stand seeing their team play 82 games of international hockey. Other than the U.S. Russia game, man, there really hasn't been a lot of exciting stuff, has there?
No. You know, I've been a proponent of small ice for many years. I played in the old Boston Garden, and you better be prepared to play. A shot from center was a scoring chance. Cam Neely coming down the wing, I was petrified. It seemed like the wall was where the dot was. You looked at the old Chicago Stadium, Maple Leaf Gardens, small corners. There was scoring chance after scoring chance. That's what you want. You don't want, you know, more goals. You just want lots of scoring chances. And, you know, this big ice has led to some, yeah, you're absolutely right. We've done pretty much every single game on the men's side. And there are certain games where I'm checking my BlackBerry during the game wondering, when is this over?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, Rover, we call Canada over. We're all back doing the 1-4. I think if Roger Nielsen, God rest his soul, was still alive, we'd be doing the 0-5. But it has not been, you know, the big ice has not led to a lot more great plays. In fact, it's led to a lot of guys just keeping the puck on the outside. No one's going to go from good ice to bad ice to chase you. We're just going to wait inside, almost like the old military British box plus one. Bring us the puck, we'll take it off you, we'll block the shot, and then we'll dump it in the other way and do the same thing again until we get our chance with 59 minutes left. The Swiss are famous for it. They are in the qualifying round, and they have scored 2 goals in 3 games.
That's, yeah, well, they're efficient. Swiss efficiency. Swiss efficiency.
You're getting a lot for very little, which would be the exact opposite of a Swiss Army knife.
That's true. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. What are the 3 things that have most impressed you, teams or players, through this tournament so far? You've seen all the games. Are there three particular players, or, you know, one player, 2 teams, whatever, that has impressed you the most?
Well, I took part in the Slovenia game where they won their very first Olympic win ever. And it was just a phenomenal thing to see them beat Slovakia, to see the entire bench. There were players crying on the bench. They were so happy to have won their first ever game, a country with 943 players, 2 players that have ever played a game in the NHL, ever, 5 players that have ever been drafted, and Anze Kopitar took the team on his back and had the time of his life.
That was tremendous to see.
I just loved every minute of it. At that point in the Olympics, I was ready to go home. That made my Olympics. And then, you know, let's do the counter to that, which would be the Austrian team and Thomas Vanek. He is mailing it in. He may be the worst player in this tournament.
Really?
And I'll say that with the utmost respect for him as a player, because he has talent. But the fact that he can't play with his country's uniform on and put together the same type of effort that Kopitar puts in tells me, Gar Snow, you may have had the best present ever when he turned your $50 million contract down. But, you know, that's the bad of the Olympics. There's just so much more that is good. And to see the athletes, you know, after they win, to see, Jan come into the Olympic Village with his medal, his bronze medal from the Super G, and to know that he's a 34 or 32-year-old guy with about 9 knee surgeries, and he laid it all on the line. There's just so many great stories about the Olympics. And, you know, just to kind of close off on my storylines, I can't wait to see, you know, a U.S., Canada, Russia, the way these 3 teams are going to battle down the stretch here, because the Americans have taken a major step, and we saw that with the TJ Soshi moves. You know, I didn't know he was Meadowlark Lemon, but I do now.
I'll tell you one thing, too. Jonathan Quick, I think it was you who was making the point that Jonathan Quick might be one of a more perfect goaltender to have in the big ice service, because he can just get across so fast.
Oh, yeah, left to east to west. That's where the game's played. It's not north-south. It's east to west. You know, and that's maybe where Crosby has his hardest time, because the Pittsburgh Penguins play that stretch pass game where you throw it up to the guy as far as you can. He just tips it in, and then you go get it. And this game isn't played that way. You know, tip it in, go get it. You got to get through 5 guys to even come close to it.
Glenn, I appreciate you doing this. Really enjoyed your stuff from Sochi. It's been tremendous. Was really happy that you blocked that shot going for Pierre, by the way.
Some wonder whether I should have. However, we're going to protect our brethren all the way through.